Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We appreciate you joining us day after day, week after week, we hope. We hope the Lord's blessing you with the Word. And I'm going to continue on, I think. We were talking about anxiety and fear in our last teaching, and I'd like to continue on with that. More about fear this time than anxiety, but, you know, there's great shakings coming across the world in these days, and I think probably by the time some of you view this program, there will have been great shakings even more. I'm expecting one to come to America in the next very little bit, and I tell you, the devil uses this to try to bring fear upon God's people. In fact, he uses things that we see and things that we hear to bring fear upon us. It's like the devil stands right there, or the demons of fear, they stand right there until something happens, and immediately they pounce on us, you know. Have you ever felt that spirit of fear just come over you like a blanket? And, well, don't pacify that, because you're obviously meant to make war against that. And but the devil uses that. He uses things that we hear to put fear on us. And remember, we spoke about the scorpazo spirits, the scorpion spirits, whose job it is to penetrate and put to flight, you know, to cause a person to be fearful or anxious and to flee from the devil and, of course, be no threat against his kingdom. And fear is one of the devil's big guns, so to speak, you know. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, some of you know it by heart, I'm sure, "For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and of discipline," or actually sobering. The Greek word is sobering. He didn't give us a spirit of fearfulness. You know, when fear comes upon you, if you're not walking in some willful disobedience, which really doesn't give you much of a choice but to have fear, if you're wise, you will fear the Lord when you're willfully disobedient, at least, you know. But if a spirit of fear comes upon you, you know that that's not from God. It's from the devil. And you shouldn't give in to it, pacify it, think about it. If you do, it's going to conquer you. That's what it comes for. It comes for the purpose of penetrating your armor and putting you to flight. You know, the shield of the Spirit, you know, which quenches the fiery darts of the evil one. God describes it in so many different ways. But we know that the only fear that we should have is the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And if we fear the Lord, we will depart from unrighteousness, the Bible says. But any other fear, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of the devil is foolishness, because it's, of course, giving faith to the devil. Fear is faith. Fear is negative faith. Fear is faith in the curse, faith in the devil, faith in failure. And, of course, our Lord Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." And that's why one reason Job said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." It's interesting that we understand that our fears come to pass just like our faiths do. They're just opposite reactions, but both of them are faith, you know. But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, 21 and verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit these things. Now, of course, the Lord is implying that if you don't overcome, you're not going to inherit these things. And, of course, he's speaking of the new heaven and the new earth and all the great things that God has provided for God's people. He that overcometh. Now, some people don't think we have anything to overcome. They think that Jesus overcame it all, which is true. But you know that Jesus overcame so that we could overcome. We learn to abide in him and see those works manifest. You know, so faith without works is dead, the Bible says. So he that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Overcomers are sons of God. See, and they'll inherit the kingdom. But for the fearful, the unbelieving, which are very similar, let me say that if you are fearful, you are unbelieving. It is negative faith, faith in the curse, faith in the devil. Notice, he that overcometh is expected to overcome these things. You see, you're not an overcomer unless you've overcome these things, because he says, he that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But, so he's speaking of the opposite, but for the fearful and the unbelieving, that is those that do not overcome these things, right? But for the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fearful and unbelieving is grouped right in there with these really abominable sins. Some people think that fear is just a weakness, and so they pacify it because they consider it just a weakness of their own. But the Bible says God didn't give us a spirit of fearfulness, right? It's more than a weakness, it's a sin. And it's unbelief. The Bible calls it in Hebrews chapter 3 an evil heart of unbelief. And in falling away from the living God. Fear is something we need to make war against whenever we feel its presence, whenever we have the thoughts. You know, fear can manifest in even worse ways, you know. But most of all, it causes us to run from the devil. It causes us to give up the fight. It causes us to lose ground. And, you know, he mentions that the fearful and the unbelieving are the wicked. And obviously, there's a part of every one of us that is wicked, and it's that old man that we want to overcome. Obviously, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, the Bible says. They both lust one against the other. These two are contrary. And there's a war going on in every one of us that we can overcome through faith in the overcoming victory that Jesus had at the cross. You know, because as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. When Christ was resurrected, we were too. We received his resurrection life. And when he overcame, we also overcame, you see. We were crucified with Christ. And even the old man was put to death with Christ. But we hold on to our faith to see it manifested in the physical realm. The gift that's been given unto us, we can overcome to receive, right? And in Job chapter 15, there's an awesome revelation I want to share with you. Job 15, in verse 20. By the very fact that he calls the fearful wicked, we should know that we need to fight against this spirit. The wicked man travaileth with pain all of his days. Verse 20. Even the number of years that are laid up for the oppressor, a sound of terrors is in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer shall come upon him. Isn't that amazing? You know, what's one of the words that we hear most nowadays? Terror and terrorist, right? Interesting that in these last days, It's very common, isn't it? And we're, I believe, coming to the end of the 7 years of plenty that was prophesied by Joseph, and we're coming to the beginning of the 7 years of famine. And I believe we can look around us and see that that's what's on the horizon now. But this is coming upon the prosperous, you see. He says, he believeth not that he shall return out of darkness. The wicked are in terror, and they don't believe that they will return out of darkness. You know, isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the good news? That we are delivered out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love? Isn't it the good news that we're supposed to believe? But the wicked don't believe that. And they live in terror. And he is waited for of the sword. He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth that the day of darkness is ready at his hand. Distress and anguish make him afraid. They prevail against him as a king ready to the battle. You know, the wicked are conquered by fear. The devil conquers them. He rules them. Do you know that if you are ruled by fear, if you react to fear, if you act according to your fear, that you're submitting to the devil's kingdom? You're not submitting to God, because he hadn't given us a spirit of fearfulness. So if you're ruled by fear, you're not ruled by God. You're in idolatry. You know, you are having faith in the devil. Because he has stretched out his hand against God and behaveth himself proudly against the Almighty. Why does fear come upon the wicked? Because they're acting against God. It's part of the judgment that comes upon them. And is acting proudly against the Almighty. Wow. You know, those who walk in sin, God turns over to the devil. And, I mean, of the kingdom people even. You know, I mean, we discovered in our last teaching, you know, and in Matthew 18 and 34, that Jesus said that if you didn't, for instance, forgive your brother from the heart, that he said his father would turn you over to the tormentors. Well, the wicked world, they're already delivered over to the tormentors. You know, they live in torment, you know. But the righteous are not supposed to be. I mean, they are coming out of darkness. They're believing God to come out of the kingdom of darkness. But the wicked do not believe that. And so they live under the tormentors. They live under fear and anxiety, two of the tormentors. And but the problem is, he says here, because they have stretched out their hand against God, that he has delivered them over to this fear. Okay? And you know, we're told in 1 John chapter 3, 21 and 22, you know, that if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So if we've got a clear conscience, we've got boldness. We don't have fear. And God's not going to permit fear to come upon a person who has a clear conscience. And if it comes, it comes to be a trial unto you, and your boldness is the very thing that will vanquish it. You know, the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know, fear is natural and normal to the wicked. Because, and who are the wicked? Well, those that sin. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. If you're walking in sin, you're wicked, right? And that person won't have a boldness towards God and towards his benefits, because their conscience condemns them. So, if you want a defense against fear in the days to come, because as I say, when you see things that are fearful, and you hear about things that are fearful, that's usually when the devil pounces upon you, and he does it in order to overcome you so that you can do nothing about it. You're just running from him, right? And Jesus told us, you know, basically, if we're not plundering the devil's kingdom, that we're going to be running from him. A clear conscience. Without a clear conscience, when we have guilt, you know, guilt is also a demon, and it can be wrong. If you don't know the gospel, if you don't know that your sins are covered, for instance, you can have false guilt. And guilt can deliver you over to fear. You know, a matter of fact, that's kind of what happened to Adam. Let's turn there and look at that. Genesis chapter 2. Now, you remember that Adam only had one commandment, right? Don't touch that tree, right? Don't touch that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he broke God's law. He broke his rule. And it says in verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." And once again, folks, nakedness here is a representation of the guilt of sin. That's what it represents, the guilt of sin. They knew that they were naked. They didn't know this until they partook of the knowledge of good and evil. But now they were made sinners because now they knew they had broken God's law. And so guilt is the first thing they received here. They knew they were naked. "And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons," obviously attempting to cover their guilt, right? Men try to cover their guilt in various ways of self-works. As we know, God slew animals, and without the shedding of blood, there is no covering for our sins, right? So he didn't accept their works to alleviate their guilt. "And they made aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and amongst the trees of the garden." Obviously, many people are hiding themselves because of their guilt. They don't want to face God. They don't like to read the Word because it condemns them. They don't know the great sacrifice that the Lord has made for them to be given grace to overcome. And so it makes them feel bad when they face themselves, when they face the Word, so on and so forth. They're hiding from God because of their guilt, right? And of course, many Christians are doing the same thing. "And the Lord God called unto the man and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Guilt brings fear. If you don't want to be overcome by fear, we need to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We need to repent, confess our sins, and have faith that Jesus has given us authority over this old flesh. You know, the real good news is, folks, the Lord wants to live the Christian life in us. Many people are living under the bondage of guilt, and there's no reason, because the real good news is that he already set us free, right? But anyway, if you've got guilt, the devil can use that, and he can bring fear upon you because you don't have that boldness, right? You don't have that boldness towards God. So he brings fear upon you to conquer you. Or sometimes we get so far down, we're willing to look up. And sometimes the Lord just lets the devil take advantage of us until we're willing to look up, to get our eyes on him and to have faith in what he's accomplished at the cross. So faith that brings obedience gives us victory over fear. And Leviticus 26, I think, is a very good example of this. Verse 13, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." Now, we know as Christians that we too have been delivered out of the land of Egypt, haven't we? Spiritually speaking, Egypt represents the world, and we've been delivered from bondage to the world, bondage to the old man who is the Egyptian. We've been delivered out of it. He said that you should not be their bondman. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you go upright. So we've been delivered out of bondage, right? Then he says, which is basically the gospel, isn't it? We've been delivered from bondage. He made you free from sin. You're no longer in bondage to the old man, right? Verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments. Notice how many times he says the same thing over and over here. And if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments. I mean, I think you made the point, Lord, you know. but break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you. So God delivers people who are rebellious against his word over to fear. I will appoint terror over you. Even consumption and fever that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Yes, so many people are plundered by the devil constantly because they're rebellious against his word. They're delivered over to fear. They've got no boldness to come against the devil. And they don't understand why they're devoured by the devourer, as Malachi 3 talks about. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. Yes, Proverbs 28, and verse 7, I believe it is, says the same thing, you know. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion, right? So God appoints terror over rebellious people, whether it is God's rebellious people or whether it's the people of the world, they are ripe for terror. And so terror in these days, I believe, is something that God has loosed through the devil to motivate people to run to God, right? To run to repentance and faith and boldness so that we may be delivered of these things. You know, fear brings us back into bondage. You know, fear is bondage. Fear is bondage to the devil, and fear will bring us right back to Egypt, you know, and right back to that bondage. Deuteronomy 28, I think, speaks of that in verse 64. And the Lord will scatter thee among all peoples, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. You know, a lot of people don't realize that everything that happened to Israel happens to the church in a spiritual way. And the church was said by Peter to be just one holy nation. And we were grafted into the olive tree called all of Israel. You know, we are one people, but we've been divided. We've been scattered. He talks about the shepherds that scatter the flock. We've been divided, we've been scattered, and we've been brought into bondage to the nations of the world. Now God is calling us out of those nations to our one holy nation, which is spiritual Israel. You see, we've been called out from among them. But when we rebel against God, and he brings us in under the spirit of fear, we go back into bondage. Watch as we read this. And there shall be And there thou shalt serve other gods which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers, even of wood and of stone. Yeah, you know the word gods is the words that mean mighty ones. You know, who are the church's mighty ones? If you want to ask what kind of gods is the church serving, just stop and think about it. Much of the church, by their own actions, prove that they have trust in their government, trust in their military, trust in their doctors, trust in their bank accounts. These are the mighty ones that the church is trusting in, because they're in bondage to the nation of the world instead of the nation of Israel. But he has called us out. You know, what he just got through saying is he delivered us out of Egypt that we might be his holy nation, right? And verse 65 says, "And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, and there shall be no rest for the sole of thy foot, but the Lord will give thee there a trembling heart." See, when you're living in the world, God says this over and over, he's going to give you fear. You see, of course, we need to have fear to live in the world, because there's no eternal life there, you know. And there's nothing but the curse there, right? "He will give thee a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and pining of soul. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear night and day." Wow, is this coming to pass in these days or not? It's obvious, you know. "And shalt have no assurance of thy life." Fear, just fear, right? "In the morning thou shalt say, would it were evening. And at even thou shalt say, would it were morning. For the fear of thy heart, which thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And the Lord will bring thee into Egypt again." Wow. You know what brought God's people into Egypt the first time, right? Well, we know that Jacob's sons were the patriarchs, his 12 sons. And they were not obedient to their father. And, of course, Joseph watched over them and brought the report of them to their father, and they didn't really like that. But they also persecuted the righteous. They persecuted Joseph, right? And what happened because of this? God sent them into Egypt. They were 400 years in bondage in Egypt, right? And he says, "The Lord will bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I said unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again." At God's command is we never go back to Egypt, right? Never go back into bondage to the old man. But that's what he's talking about. "And there you shall sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondmen and for bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." So he gives fear. Men go back into bondage to the old man. You know what happens when you fear? People do strange things when they fear. One thing is they take control themselves instead of trusting in God. Who is self? Well, self is the old man. Meaning what? Meaning you're going back into bondage. The old man is ruling once again. The Egyptian who once ruled over the Israelite is now ruling over him again, right? So you're gone back into bondage. And what is one of the devil's, you know, big guns in order to bring you there? It's fear. People do many things when they fear. They can even be brought, even Christians, to killing their fellow man because they fear. Or running to the arm of the flesh because they fear. You know? They have a fear of death. And so they do what is totally contrary to the Word of God, which is to rest in God, trust in God, believe that He has healed you, delivered you, whatever, you know. Fear causes people to go back into bondage. It causes them to have no strength before the enemy. It causes them to run from their enemies, right? But God delivered us from this. And we're not in bondage anymore if we believe the gospel. We need to believe to come out of darkness, as we just read there. But when you have fear, you don't believe that you can come out of darkness. You don't believe the gospel. When you have fear, you believe the devil. You believe the curse. You believe that God has not separated you unto himself to protect, heal, deliver, provide for you, contrary to the rest of the whole world. You don't believe those things. See? So the devil's is in an attempt in these days, going to attempt in these days, to make war on the people of God through the things that they see and the things that they hear in order to bring them into bondage. But our greatest strength, folks, is going to be walking by faith and obedience, because the devil cannot get a foothold if we do that. You know, in Proverbs chapter 1, listen to what the Lord says, verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now, he's talking about here being simple in the knowledge of God, simple in the knowledge of the Word. See, how long will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. This is the simplicity part, because they hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I'll make known my words unto you. Obviously, two things that we need desperately is to have the Word of God sown in our heart, which brings forth the fruit of Christ, and the power of God's Spirit. He's offering us tremendous gifts here. And yet, sometimes we are not interested. But you can wait too late. Verse 24. Because I have called, and you have refused, and I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Notice he didn't say, if your fear cometh. He said, when your fear cometh. If you reject, continue to reject beyond the time of God's patience, His Word and His Spirit, He says this fear will come upon you. And when your fear cometh as a storm, folks, we're going to see that in days to come. Multitudes of people of the earth are going to be swayed this way and that way because of fear, and be moved to do terrible things because of fear. And your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. And they will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, obviously, if you've got the fear of the Lord, you cannot have the fear of the devil. The Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from iniquity. You cannot have both at the same time. So if you fear the Lord, the Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil, right? If you fear the Lord, that's a good fear. Obviously, it's a good fear. Because if we fear the Lord, we will serve Him, you know. If we fear the devil, we can't serve him, because we're too busy serving the devil. We're running from the devil. And that's his plan. And he says in verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay him. Notice it's no man that slays him. It's his own backsliding that slays him, right? And the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely. If we are seeking to be obedient to the Lord with our faith in Him, trusting in His grace, He empowers us in turn to be obedient. And that's a place of security. And shall be quiet without fear of evil. And shall be quiet without fear of evil. The Lord promises to those who are obedient because of their faith. Obedience is the fruit of faith, you see. They don't call it works as though it's a negative work. It's not. Faith without works is dead. That's God's works, right? So he says, they'll be quiet without fear. Without fear. Those who are obedient because of their faith, because they've received grace through their faith to be so, they will be without fear. But the rest will go under a spirit of bondage. And fear is a spirit of bondage. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says something very similar to that. Let me read that to you. Verse 12, "So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear." Notice, the spirit of bondage again unto fear. "But you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, the Jewish scholars say that no servant would dare call Abba, Father, to the head of a household. This is somebody who has a relationship to the Father, that of a child to the Father. And as many as are the sons of God, you know, he says, that's who he's speaking about. But he says, notice he says, "But you received the spirit of adoption." Now the word adoption there is huiosthesia, which means son placing. Son placing. You know, when we're adopted, we're placed as sons. God adopts children who are servants, according to Galatians, right? A child is a servant, right? He adopts them as sons, right? Sonship is what we're growing into. We're bearing the fruit of the Son, Jesus Christ. As the Son, Jesus Christ, comes to live in us, we manifest our sonship, right? Well, you're either submitted to the Spirit of God as a son, or you're under the spirit of bondage unto fear, he says. And fear is obviously bondage. Fear is rules and reigns over people that have it, and they cannot get control of themselves. Terror causes them to run rampant before the devil and be ruled over by the devil. And we're going to see crazy things happen in this world because of fear in the days to come. Very crazy thing. We're going to see Christians who are not Christians because of fear. And all that God asks us to do is several very minor things. And at least, let me say that it's something that's already been paid for by the Lord. He's already delivered us out of the power of darkness. And he's delivered us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He wants us to walk by faith. And if we will walk by faith in him, we'll be able to cast down fear. We'll be able to walk the walk. Okay? And faith obviously gives us the power to walk the walk. And Hebrews chapter 2, let me read something to you there. Verse 14 or 15, let me see. Yes, 14. "Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." The Lord came to deliver us from the power of death, and might deliver all of them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, the worldly people, it's obvious that because of fear of death, they do things that they do, and they're in bondage, you know. But Christians are not supposed to be in that bondage, you see. And Jesus came, notice, to deliver us from the fear of death so that we wouldn't all of our life be subject to bondage. He came to deliver us from the fear of death. Okay, and he did that. He accomplished that. You know, he bore upon himself our sins. And one of the sins, as we've seen from Revelation chapter 21, is fear. He bore the sin of fear. You don't have to put up with fear because he delivered you from that darkness. He bore upon himself that curse. and we don't have to walk in fear. We have authority over fear because of what Jesus did at the cross. We can say no to fear. And many of you have experienced that, I know. Just rebuking fear, denying fear, refusing to listen to fear. Many things, you know, but we have total authority over fear. We can say no to fear. Again, fear brings us into bondage. When fear comes upon us, it is to cause us to serve it. And the fear of death many times causes us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. You know, I remember one time when one of my children was being born at home. And this was a very strange situation because it was my oldest son. And when it came time for birth, it's then that we discovered that he was breech. And that his feet were coming out first, you know. And I tell you, when I saw that, it was like the devil was waiting for me to see that little toe come out first to just jump on me with the spirit of fear. And instead of listening to it, you know, of course the devil tells you all things, everything is going to happen unless you go back to trusting in man, unless you go back to doing it the way of the world, right? But the Lord had led me to do this. He wanted me to have a lesson of trusting in him. So when I saw that little toe, I felt that spirit of fear come in that room. And I want to tell you, the first thing I did was say, "Hope, we're going to stop right here. We're going to pray. We're going to make war against this spirit." And we did. And we commanded that demon to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And he did. And then we were no longer in bondage because of this fear of death. You know, the fear of death could be more than just physical death. Many people fear death to self. They fear giving up their old life. And so because of the fear of death, the devil is able to keep us in bondage because he keeps us running to the world and the ways of the world, the methods of the world. And instead, Jesus came to set us free from that. Since we know that he did do that, now we have authority over fear. Of course, if you're walking in sin, as you can see, you've got no boldness, and you won't be able to deny fear. It will overcome you. But if you're not walking in sin, you're walking by faith in God, you have authority over fear. You can cast it down. It will have to submit to you because of what Jesus said. He gave you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise hurt you. One thing we do to conquer fear is we just refuse to listen. Just refuse to listen, you know. When things like that happen, of course, I have to go on to say that the baby was born. He was born a footling breech, 1 foot up, 1 foot down, and breech. And, of course, they always do a cesarean like that. They never birth a baby that way, and some people don't know if it's even possible to do that. But I tell you, I told that baby to come out of there in the name of Jesus, and that baby was born a footling breech. Come out in the name of Jesus, I said. And it was born, and that was after we ran the spirit of fear off. And it was born a footling breech. So you see, God can do anything, folks. Glory be to God. His power is just absolutely, totally awesome. But we have to have our wits about us to be able to manifest. If you got fear, you don't have boldness. If you got fear, you don't have faith. You know, you have faith in the devil and faith in the curse. So, one thing we got to do is not listen to the voice of the devil. You know, look at Psalm 55 in verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in anger they persecute me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Because of the voice of the enemy, all these things are true. And one thing he says is, the terrors of death are fallen upon me. fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me because of the voice of the enemy. You know what, folks? We just don't listen. You know, we cast down these thoughts. We just don't listen. We pray that God will always bring to our remembrance the things that He has said unto us, you know. And He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. We hold fast to the Word. We recognize this is the devil. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. This is the devil. Now I can stop. I can take authority. I can have victory over this. I do not need to listen to this as though it were me, because it's not me, you see. We've been delivered from fear. And the Bible tells us that we should fill ourselves with thoughts. Let me read to you Philippians chapter 4. We can fill ourselves with thoughts that give us peace. Philippians 4 and 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." We know that this is not true. When the spirit of fear comes, he's telling us a lie, something contrary to the scriptures, and we're not supposed to listen to it. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report." Now, what caused the people to fear when they saw the giants? The bad report. They brought the bad report, and it caused the people's hearts to melt. They feared because of the bad report. Now, you know, well-meaning people can bring us a bad report. But if it's contrary to God's word, we need to cast it out and cast it down. You know, be careful when you've made somebody your God. Be careful when you've made medicine your God or doctors your God when they bring you the bad report. Remember that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You can't be sick. You were healed. Cast it down. If you accept that, if fear causes you to accept that, then you've got it. Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." Listen, cast it down. How can you be sick when it says, "By whose stripes you were healed"? And so when they bring that bad report, what happens? Fear comes into your being, because the devil's sitting right there waiting for you to hear what this guy's got to say. And when you accept it, fear jumps on you, because the devil knows you're going to have a testimony if you continue in your faith. So he's attacking you to keep you from being delivered from this curse, delivered out of this darkness, and to walk by faith in the Lord. And what does he say? "If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things," or "take account of these things," is what it says. "The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you." The God of peace. And 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 talks about our warfare and tells us to cast down reasonings and everything that's exalted against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ. And if we will learn to do that, fear will never have a foothold. And we will conquer it. And God is just omnipotent to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We don't have to give in to the thoughts of the devil, and we can cast them down. He said, "Because of the voice of the enemy, the terrors of death are fallen upon me." The voice of, remember, that is the voice of the enemy. That is the devil when he comes to do this to you. And we don't have to put up with it. In Isaiah chapter 8, you know, some of you have listened to things that are bringing fear into your life. You're reading things. You know, not only don't listen to the voice of the devil, but don't read the voice of the devil, and don't look at the voice of the devil, because people give you things that put fear in your heart. Some of you are studying things that are putting fear in you, not building faith in you for the days to come. You know, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "Make an uproar, O ye peoples, and be broken in pieces. And give ear, all of you of far countries. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. A great tumult is coming over the world in these days, folks. He said, take counsel together, and it shall be brought to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. You know, Emmanuel is with us. You know, it is not our power, it's his power in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a conspiracy concerning all whereof this people shall say a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread. You know what? I know Christians who study conspiracies all the time, all the time. And all it's filling their heart with is fear. They don't have any faith towards God. They don't have any boldness towards God. They're afraid of things that are coming upon the world because they're disobedient. You know, it doesn't matter who is behind the things that are coming upon the world. The Lord is ultimately behind it all because the Bible says he works all things after the counsel of his own will. He was behind what came to Job. And standing back and looking at Job's situation, we see that we shouldn't fear because God Almighty's in control. Okay? So if you study these conspiracies and you see that men are out to do you in, or the devil's out to do you in, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time studying what men are trying to do because it's God Almighty that's behind it. And his purpose is good for you. His purpose is to bring you to repentance and to faith in him, you see. And so if you're studying men and you're worried about what they might be doing and that you have to do something about it and you get in the flesh, it's all because you studied these conspiracies. He says, say ye not a conspiracy concerning whereof all this people shall say a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread. The Lord of hosts, him shall you sanctify. And let him be your fear. Why? Because he is the one that's ultimately in control. Not the world, not the wicked, not the Illuminati, not anybody else. He is in control. And he says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. You see? So the Lord has absolute control over our enemies. He has control over our life. And he said we would be in safety and would not fear. Did he not? Okay. So we need to put our trust in God. We need to cast down these things that have our sight on men. The fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says. You know, we don't, Proverbs 29, 25 and 26, if you are afraid of man, you're going to be in bondage again. You're going to be trapped again. The fear of man brings a snare. Don't study the conspiracies. Study what God has to say about what he will do to provide for you in the days to come. And don't fear the things that are coming upon the world, because that fear is for the devil's children. It is for the wayward people of God also, to bring them to repentance and to trust in God. Well, God bless you, saints, and thank you for joining us. And I don't know whether we'll study this again or not. We'll just leave it up to the Lord. But thank you so much for being with us, and we love you, and God bless you. Go in peace.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word.
Stranger.